What it do, baby?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 745 of Locked On Raptors for Monday, July the 20th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. You can find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode of the podcast. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you're ever going to need at RockAuto.com. And also tell them that Locked On sent you. More on them a little bit later on. Also, just a heads up to please check out all the stuff on the Locked On Podcast Network. There's a million things going on right now as sports near a return. Baseball is back literally this week, which will please today's guest, I'm sure. And so go and listen to the Locked On MLB season re-preview specials over on the Locked On MLB podcast with Sully. Lots of good stuff in there from all of the local hosts chiming in. 3 or so minutes on all of their teams to get you refreshed on what the hell they were doing when the season got stopped before it started back in March. Very excited for baseball. It's just the best. And having it on Friday is going to be lovely. On today's show is someone who also loves baseball, as we are going to dive into some news out of the Raptors, a couple big hirings and positional changes within the organization. The TV schedule as well is out for the upcoming restart down in Orlando. And we also got a couple mailbag questions in today. We were supposed to have Big V on, scheduling issue there. So it's just today's guest, Katie Heindel, the biggest baseball fan in the world. Katie, how are you?
I was prepared to say something really nice, like, oh, I remember it feels like we were just recording the 600th episode. And now it's just a slog, Sean. Who cares? I'm not going to say anything nice about it.
That's fine. Whatever.
I'm here under duress.
Yeah, Katie hates baseball. That's fine. We tried to start a baseball chat in our Discord for the basketball podcast, and Katie asked us to shut it down immediately.
Delete this chat. Yeah. That's what I said.
Did we delete the chat?
It was Other Sports is the channel. No, it hasn't been deleted. I mean, I'll just drop in every now and again to like express my disdain. But that's how it goes.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about baseball on today's show. For that, you though, can listen to Friday's episode with myself, Mike DeStefano, and AJ Andrews as we did a Toronto Sports Roundtable. Lots of Blue Jays talk in there about Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Nate Pearson and all the young, exciting players on the Jays. Today, we're talking Raptors, of course, on this podcast about the Raptors. Like I said, we got some mailbag questions coming up a little bit later on, but we should get to some news, Katie, out of the team. Today, John Wiggins, who previously was the director of basketball ops for Raptors 905, I believe the first employee of Raptors 905 back when they started up, has been promoted to a new position with the Raptors in charge of inclusion and community. I should have pulled up the exact title but I'm bad at my job, so that's it. I'm going to pull it up right now. He is the vice president of organizational culture and inclusion, which is a very cool position that John Wiggins takes over, and it's awesome. It's a really cool position that they've created here. Obviously, this is actionable stuff that they're trying to do in response to the social justice movement that's gone over the last couple months. And we've been waiting, Katie, for teams to actually take action and do things to tangibly improve their communities and the world at large. And it's nice to see the Raptors taking a very tangible step forward in doing that.
Yeah, it's cool as hell. And I think it's cool they looked internally. They brought someone on who's like had such a big hand in not just making the 905 like kind of as exciting and more of a like I don't know, household sort of like topic, I'd say, than a lot of other D-League teams, but also so I don't know, there's just like a real, you were there and I was there for like our time when we were with the Raptors, and there's just like such a palpable energy that's like running through that entire franchise, I think. And I think it has to do with just like, you know, the number of women that are covering that team, like the number of people of color who are covering that team. And I just think like, I don't know, it's just, it makes a really big difference. Of course, my like pie in the sky would have been to hire a woman in this role, but it's okay.
Yeah. John Wiggins.
That's what his job is going to be, to look at other positions and who they can bring on board for that kind of thing.
Exactly. He's put in a lot of years with the franchise. Like you said, like that 905 program and just sort of everything that goes on down there is really special. You know, in some of the conversations I had when I wrote my piece about the 905 and the women of the 905 back in March, just before the pause, it was like the last thing I published before everything went to shit. On that, like in my conversations there, like John Wiggins comes up all the time as sort of, you know, a lot of the talk is about Masai Ujiri and Shelby Weaver with that team and sort of setting the pace and being sort of the foundational pillars around which the diversity and inclusion is really enforced. But John Wiggins as well, also constantly in those conversations as someone who's just constantly setting that tone of diversity and inclusion on the 905. And it's great that he's going to be brought in to do this on the big team level as well. And that does not remove him from 905 duties, of course. No, the 905 are not some separate entity from the Raptors. They're all part of the same group, and that's amazing and very unique, I think, within the G League, the way that sort of chemistry and the synergy and whatever other business words you want to use between the 905 and the big club, you know, it doesn't happen a lot around the league. So congrats to John Wiggins. Great move by the Raptors, I think, here. And also shout out to Courtney Charles, who is now the director of basketball ops for Raptors 905. He's been with the Raptors since 2006 in all sorts of different facets, you know, PR and working in the basketball ops side of things. So well-deserved promotion there for Courtney Charles as well, who's put in a ton of time with the team. And yeah, it's nice to see positive steps forward. Yeah. Anything else on that, Katie, before we move on?
Yeah. I mean, I want to say that, like, yeah, I think it was really cool, although it is like, this is one of those sort of like things we've talked about and been a little bit cautionary in terms of like a veneer of like change when the Raptors rolled up to the bubble in the buses that were like wrapped in Black Lives Matter. But like, that's something that I think, as cosmetic as it might seem, it wasn't really, because first of all, like, it was so impactful just like with like arriving to the bubble in that way. I think we talked about this a little bit, just of how it's like the Raptors franchise has always kind of set themselves apart just in like kind of putting action to words. So that said, like, as heartened as like I was to see that, and honestly as like choked up as I got to see that, to have this hire come on like so closely on the heels of that, I think is the perfect example of how you back that kind of stuff up. How you showed like, yeah, we can wrap our buses in this big statement. And also like for the most part, like Nurse and the players, when they've been on all the Zoom calls, they've been wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. Like, they've been quite vocal about it. But then you have something like this that shows like, actually we're focused on this internally, like at an organizational level too. And like, this is how everything kind of trickles down through the franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we've talked about this as it relates to how the NBA is putting on their sort of messaging and, you know, the many concerns that some Raptors included have had with the sort of limiting of what the names and stuff can be on the back of jerseys and the concerns that have been expressed there. And I think our concerns with the ability for the NBA to actually put the Black Lives Matter movement front and center in a way that matters, as opposed to, you know, just sort of platitudes. And, you know, that's not to say that symbolic stuff isn't good. Like you said, like, it's affecting. And if the messaging is consistent and then there's also action to back it up, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with symbolic messaging whatsoever, as long as there is something to complement it. And that is what the Raptors have done here. Just to close off on this, the quote from John Wiggins is, quote, "This position has the opportunity to directly impact change. That's what excited me so much about the role, the chance to impact change directly in my organization, my community, and my country," said Wiggins. "As an organization, we're uniquely placed to do that. We are the Raptors and we are MLSC. For me, change is actionable. I don't want to just say things. They must be doable. I have a position of power and I want to do powerful things." It's exactly what you want to hear. And shout out to
the Raptors. I also like that he's from Mississauga.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the 905 have been a really great sort of hub for this type of thing in Mississauga itself, right? Like, they're such a beloved team in that city. And I think a lot of that goes to sort of the reaching out and the community work that they do. So, awesome stuff, and good on the Raptors, who I think I've kind of proven here that they do things right more often than not. So that's makes you feel good. As much as all of this, everything that's going on with the NBA and the very clear billionaire agendas that are at play in the return and all that stuff, it's nice to know that the team you like has a heart and does things the right way. So shout out to the Raptors on that. Katie, we are going to continue talking about the Raptors and some breaking news from today as it pertains to the schedule being released, the TV schedule, that is. And we're going to get to your mailbag questions as well. But first, I want to tell people about rockauto.com, which is a family business serving online auto parts customers for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. This is such a wonderful site for somebody like me who is scared of cars, who is liable to get charged way too much money when I go to the mechanic because I know nothing about anything. Rockauto.com makes it super easy. You can find the parts that you need for a much lower price. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate as well. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much money for the exact same parts? I have to take my car in tomorrow to get a whole bunch of stuff done on it, oil change, all that stuff. And if they tell me I need any spare parts added to the car, guess where I'm getting them? I'm not getting them from the mechanic. I'm going to order them from rockauto.com and then put them in myself. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us? Box to the know that we sent you as well. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you're ever going to need at rockauto.com. All right, Katie, we got some word today. Before we get to a couple of mailbag questions, we got some word today that the broadcast schedule has been announced. TSN and Sportsnet will be sharing the duties. ESPN will have a whole bunch of these games, NBA TV, TNT, all that stuff, of course, as well. But you'll see the TSN and Sportsnet broadcasts up here in the Great White North. Let's actually start off, Katie. There's going to be a few games. We get to see the Raptors play on Friday. Did you realize this? I did not realize this till today, and I got quite excited. Again, conflicted. Don't think this is a good idea. Pretty gross all around. But I can't lie. I'm excited to see the Raptors play basketball again. And they have a few scrimmages in the lead up to their first game against the Lakers on August 1st, against the Houston Rockets on the 24th, this Friday. Then the 26th, they take on Portland on Sportsnet. And then on TSN on the 28th, they take on the Phoenix Suns. All in preparation for their first game Saturday, August 1st, which is just over a week and a half away now, which again, crazy, doesn't make sense to me. Still probably a bad idea, but very excited. Katie, how excited are you for these meaningless scrimmages? Because I feel like these are going to be like the most watched things on TV in Canada in the last year.
I don't think they're like, is this a good idea? Mostly because like, I mean, I know they've been practicing together and probably doing, like, I don't know, probably doing something, like, close to the scrimmage internally. But I just feel like, do you really want to televise your first game? Even if it's, like, a scrimmage game against another team, considering, like, it might be kind of rusty. I guess you could look at it, like, psychologically from the perspective that if it is a little bit messy, you could throw everybody off. Because then you come back a little bit stronger. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's exciting. I think it's funny that it's billed. It's like at prime time, basically. 7:30 p.m. It will be treated absolutely like a real game. I guess I'm most excited to see the setup of where they'll be playing, how that looks. If this is actually like just going to be on one of the practice courts or if this will be on like the court that they'll use broadcasting. Like these are the weird sick things that I'm more excited for. And I still think, to be fair, like I still think I haven't got my head around the idea that basketball is coming, like the actual play. Like we've been talking about the bubble and the intricacies and like the logistics and like the safety and everything about the bubble for so long, even before the players got there, even more so when they got there, that I still am like, oh yeah, play is going to result out of all of this. Like, that's still the end goal. So that'll be kind of a surprise, I guess. Nice to see. No, I didn't realize it was going to be this soon though, to answer your first question. I did not.
Yeah, it really snuck up on me when I saw that report. So yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to be good basketball. I would counter your maybe reservations about them televising it with, they aired those Japan preseason games earlier this year against
that's
the Rockets.
That's different. That's
they were
different,
awful
though.
Games, though. They were truly dreadful. Like,
but that's like
jet-lagged and to start
out
the
preseason.
I think
you kind of anticipate that, right? There's like a different feeling here that even though you know they – they should not be coming back like fully ready to play. There's still something that's like, well, it's still this season. Mm-hmm. And I think people in your head, you have a hard time like circumnavigating around this huge gap that they've had. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Plus all the awkwardness of just like for them to play again. I'm sure there's going to be just some like, I don't know, like, are there not sensitivities around like how close you're going to get to, like guys are going to get to each other? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that the kind of stuff they'll be able to put out of their heads? Like, it might be interesting to watch from that like angle, like just to see what players are doing. But everything about basketball in the bubble is going to be like twofold, right? It's never going to mean just like what it does on the surface. It's like, are they happy? Do they feel okay? You know, like, oh shoot, like, are they too close? Like, don't lick your hands and touch the ball, like all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, hey, if you're James Harden, you've made a living practicing social distancing while playing defense your entire career. Hey, so it's going to be fine.
I have to say, I do like for the regular broadcast schedule, I'm a big fan of some of these like outlier times, and I wish this was regular. Mm-hmm. Just like a 1:30 p.m. game on a Monday. Yeah, on a Monday. Mm-hmm. A 2 p.m. game on a Sunday. I guess that's more like matinee. That's kind of normal. I don't know why we're doing a 9 p.m. on a Friday night when everyone's in the Eastern time zone, but whatever. Mm. Do you? The times are just like, they're all over the place.
They are pretty whack. Yep.
Two are at the same time consistently.
I'm really concerned that we're going to just like, we've gone so long without sports that I feel like there might be like an insane overdose that takes place when
what
it's
do you
like
mean?
You're sitting down to watch like 12 hours of basketball on one screen. And then if you're a hockey fan, like 12 hours of hockey on another screen, and then baseball's going on. It just feels like there's going to be a lot and we might not get anything done.
Well, not for me, but I guess for other people.
You're balanced
that watch
and
other
only like the, yeah, you
sports.
Like the good sport and not the bad
sure.
sports. That's fair. But yeah, for
you might have to pick and choose, you know, to what you give your newly found like honed attention to. And also you might find yourself like not having as much attention span as you once did.
Yeah. Again, I don't like any of this. I think it's all a terrible idea. And I think, you know, there's a very real chance that things go horribly wrong. But like, I don't know. I think it's okay. I think it's okay to feel conflicted and feel both excitement and also concern about everything. Like, I think that is probably the stock feeling that most people should have right now. If you don't have the concern thing, I don't know, you're probably missing the point a little bit here. But I don't know, how are you reckoning with it, Katie? I know we're both pretty anti-bubble. I think that's pretty clear from our many conversations. But I will say, like, it's I don't know, I'm finding myself getting more excited and I feel gross about it, but I'm not sure if I should feel gross about it. It's very silly.
I mean, I'm like kind of biding my time by I just wrote a big thing about rituals and like superstitions and how those are kind of going to be, how a lot of those are lost in the bubble, but how the league can like bring those back. So I guess I'm focusing on that kind of psychological busy work to maybe make myself feel a little bit better about it. But I actually am heartened to see like some of the ways that the league is like adapted and is like bringing things in real time and listening to players of what they want, what's going to make them more comfortable, what's going to make them feel a little bit more normalized in this like extremely abnormal, artificial place. It worries me because like we're still hearing about like Pat Connaughton and who else on the Bucks is like tested positive and still
Eric
hasn't
Bledsoe.
Joined. Bledsoe, yeah, like they haven't joined the team and like that is still happening. Like, I'm a little bit worried for like, I feel like we've heard about players who tested positive or haven't joined teams yet. And then we just don't hear from them again, or they come in under the cover of night, like James Harden did. So I think that's still a little bit weird and iffy to me. Right. And like the proximity, I don't doubt that they're handling things properly internally, but I'd like to see positive tests slow down. Especially when play is set to start in like a matter of days, you know? So I think like once maybe that first hurdle is over, like play and we see what the results are, I'll feel a little bit more relieved. And I won't feel bad about feeling relieved because theoretically they'll be safe, you know?
Well, it does sound like they've been pretty clean when it comes to testing of those who are inside the bubble. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of lack of clarity as to when exactly did Russell Westbrook or Eric Bledsoe or whoever else test positive. Like, this could have been a few weeks ago and they're still just waiting for clearance. Like, it's not as though they just tested positive yesterday or anything like that. And maybe they're just being extremely safe, which I would hope they are. That's the only way to go about things here. But yeah, I don't know. I know I've been like a real anti-bubble person on every platform on which I host anything. It's when you see that tangible like game on the schedule, you know what you're doing on Friday night now at 7:30. It's it kind of hits differently, and you know, I don't think it's gonna, you know, drop my guard of how worried and, you know, against all of this I really am at my core, but. You know, as you get more evidence and you learn more about sort of the way that things are set up in the bubble and how bus drivers are being tested every day and, you know, anyone who's in close contact with players is being tested every day. And it's just, it seems as though players are kind of acclimatizing. I'm starting to maybe soften my, grizzly, you know, don't do any of this shit. It's a terrible idea stance. So it's all very complex. There is no black and white here. I think that's the way to think about all of this, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Katie, let's move on to take a look at some mailbag questions in just a second. But first, I want to remind people, go check out Locked On Blue Jays and Locked On Leafs, as your Toronto sports teams are also about to come back and play under various circumstances. The Blue Jays still don't even know where the hell they're playing yet. Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe Buffalo, maybe Dunedin, Florida. Hopefully not. But AJ Andrews has you covered over there, as she keeps you posted every single day on what the Blue Jays are up to before the season starts on Friday. Again, I don't know how. All right, Katie, let's get into some mailbag questions here. We've got a couple that came in. We'll probably save a couple for later on in the week as we try to fill out the weekly calendar. But first question here comes from our pal at Midlife Vertical 40 and Dunking. Since cooking and fashion are probably out of the question, what new concept should Serge Ibaka create a YouTube series around while in the bubble?
Sorry, I was muted.
You're an aggressive muter. This was talked about on another podcast you were on, I think, about how...
Who said that?
I think it was Corbin. After we went on Corbin's show last week, he did another episode of the Quarantine Cast, which you should go listen to, where he was talking about how...
I don't know.
about how aggressive a muter you are, which is fine. Yeah, you're just mindful of background noise.
He said that on another episode?
I think so, yeah.
Well, we're going to have some words. Yeah, I feel like that's a very thoughtful thing to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do that because where I am, as you know, there can be a lot of really weird ambient background sounds. So I'm just, it's just habit. Whatever.
Yeah, no,
it's good etiquette. Don't make me feel bad about it.
I'm not making you feel bad about it. It's great. I really enjoy when you realize you have to unmute yourself and the drum beat that kicks in when you press your unmute button. It's beautiful stuff. It's part of podcast canon. I'm not
complaining
about
it
whatsoever. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's fun, though. It's like, Katie's back.
Okay. Well, I like that, I guess. Yeah. What do I want Serge to have a show about?
Yes.
The bubble. I mean, he could have LeBron's going to kind of co-opt that barbershop pretty quick. Mm-hmm. He's actually doing episodes of his show in the barbershop. Mm-hmm. It's been announced. So probably not that. I don't know, maybe nature walks. I was reading that there are running and bike trails in the bubble that players have access to. It would be cool if he did that and he had not alone. I wish him to have a guide with him in case he comes across any strange reptiles or birds. They could expand that to being out on the water. Mm-hmm. Funny if he had a fishing if he had a fishing episode that really paid homage to the very strange genre of the sports fishing show that is mostly silence and chasing things and about 20 seconds of action. I think Serge would be pretty good at that.
The thing about those fishing shows as well is there's often a little 3 or 4 minute feature where a chef will come in and teach you a fish dish. I think this takes place on I don't know the names of the shows. There's one where that definitely takes place. It might have happened on a few. That could be Serge's bag too. I like the idea of the nature walks. And I'm thinking of, did you ever watch the show Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan, the guy from Lost and Lord of the Rings?
I did not.
Okay. Well, he just did like a show where he would travel to remote locations and just like go looking for animals, and usually very dangerous ones.
Would he get bit? Is it like one of those ones where they're like, I'm going to get stung?
I think he did get bit a couple times by some things. Yes.
Okay. Those things are incredibly stupid.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But I like Serge just kind of going around and like, hey, this is a peacock. Hey, this is an alligator. Let's check out this alligator. I kind of like that. Yeah.
You could also fold that. You could, while you have the bridge of like the fishing show to a cooking segment, you could also have a bridge of the alligator and or bird watching to clothing that Serge has worn. being like, yeah, I love alligator. I have like an alligator pair of boots, or like I have like this plume in a coat that I love, or a hat that I wear. I could see this plume fitting very well into that hat. Mm-hmm. Things
just
like that.
Sizing up python. Animals to be turned into clothing.
Yeah, here's my python. This reminds me of a python bag I have. Mm. Why not?
Animal rights activists listening, we do not endorse this idea. We're just throwing the idea out.
It's already out there. He's already got those pieces of clothing. So I'm not suggesting he catch those animals and then make clothes out of them. It's like he could say what it, you know, this reminds me of a line that like this, this fashion house did in like, this for their runway show of this like fashion week, you know.
I like that. I also like the idea of him doing just a straight fishing show where he claims to be the first person to take up fishing in the bubble.
Yes.
And then just like says that he put everybody else on fishing as though it were like a trend that he set. I think Norm Powell could be a fun guest with all of his fish tales.
His photoshopping fish, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good job, Norm. But that's a very good photo. I took a second. I knew it was not real, the picture of the enormous tuna, but it took me 1 second to realize.
Like, no offense, it was not even the size, like the fish that threw me off. I was just like, he's not even that strong. That Norm is probably one of the stronger people like on the team, but I just mean like no one is that strong.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Jordan couldn't lift up his marlin that he got from the ocean. Then that I don't think Norm's lifting up
1,200 pounds, those things or something.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I like the idea of a Serge fishing show. And I mean, just like trying the food, like maybe sort of like he could do some sort of Chopped like show. Maybe he hosts a cooking competition show where different players have to make things out of the trays of food they receive.
I'd like to see him go down into the kitchens and like get in people's way. Like those poor chefs that are like working around the clock to like feed, like to make sure all these players get the amount of calories that they need per day. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to see Serge just kind of sashay in there and be like, what are you doing? How are you seasoning this? Like, you know, this is how I would do it, and really get in the way. It would be very endearing.
Yeah, there's really no shortage of ideas here. If Serge needs any ideas,
Jordy, hit us up.
Yeah, Jordy, what's up? we have some thoughts, but there'll be something, I think. There's got to be, although I guess the film crew can't really be in there, so he would have to maybe film things himself, but maybe he will.
Yeah, we could strap a GoPro on his head or something. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Open Gym crew is there, actually, so maybe they can.
Yeah,
just like contract their gear out for the day or something. All right, next question here, we'll wrap it up with this. We got a great question from Rob Senta, but we'll probably save that for more of a basketball heavy episode where we're looking at sort of the X's and O's on the court. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Thanks to Rob for that. Rob's the best. Jay Rosales, whoever, sends in a question that is very much in line with what we just talked about, Katie. He asks, unleash your inner Rashawn Holmes. What food cuisine dish would you break quarantine for?
What did he break? Does anyone know? Announced? No, I don't know.
So last week on our radio show, we talked about this, and I personally added to my Uber Eats account the Grand Floridian to my to my Uber Eats to see what was nearby. I almost ordered something to there later in the week and may have gotten somebody booted from the bubble. I don't know, but thankfully caught myself. But I was looking at the sort of stuff around there. There's quite a bit of selection, in particular sort of Caribbean food. There's a lot of Dominican places around there, a lot of great Latin American food, which all speaks to me a lot, but that's I don't know. We couldn't really pin down exactly what it was that Rashawn Holmes left.
Honestly, mine would probably be like an iced coffee. It would be something extremely stupid. Like a bit like, you know, it's not a necessity. It wasn't like my body was like, oh, I can't get these like specific vitamins or things like, you know, it's missing from my meal here in the Disney kitchens. It would just be like a strong, good iced coffee. Mm-hmm. I also had one of the best iced coffees probably in my life in Miami. So like Florida doesn't really mess around with coffee, like Cuban, especially like Cuban coffee. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm just thinking about it now. Yeah, I would break quarantine for that specific iced coffee, mm-hmm. but knowing me and just like desperation and not, I don't know, just like being a bit of a baby about it, that's probably what would happen.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like the idea of it just sort of being like a small comfort that it maybe is not all that sort of, like you're going to be able to find an iced coffee in the bubble. Just how good is that?
Even if you have to just make your own dinky one in the room, you know, we've seen players bring in their own. I had really laughed at like I think it was like there were two, I think Bellinelli and someone else brought in an espresso machine because they were like, well, Americans don't really have great coffee. But then I was like, but espresso's also pretty shitty coffee. But kudos to you, whatever you like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not much of a coffee snob. The only outside of like Tim Hortons coffee, I'll drink anything. So I don't think that would be my selection. I do think I can't imagine, and this is something that I've come across in like when you go to a cafeteria, sometimes the Raptors media meal will serve this and they just don't do it quite right. Just some like extremely good jerk chicken. Like they've had jerk chicken at the Raptors media meal before. It's just like kind of sad. If you go to any sort of like cafe or like buffet or anything like that, cafeteria. Not to be
cafe,
all hoity,
buffet.
Not to be all hoity-toity. But
Sean's
yeah.
Perfect restaurant. A cafe buffet.
Yes. all you can drink iced coffee. This sounds like your perfect restaurant too, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, like anytime you get it sort of made in bulk, it just doesn't work. They don't do the seasonings correctly. They don't do the rice and beans correctly. And so I would just say a really good, I might just like a whole order from a really good Caribbean spot, whether it's in addition to a jerk chicken meal, you know, something like a roti or some oxtail or something like that. I would really load up and keep it for leftovers, I think would be my bubble breaking. It's thankful I don't have to do that. I discovered there's a really, really good jerk chicken place, like a 3-minute walk from my house that I had never walked by before because it's just like a direction I've never walked near my house, but it's right there and it's wonderful. Don't have to break quarantine for that. But yeah, I think that's what I got there. Katie, we probably reached the end of this year podcast. Do you have anything you'd like to plug or anything you'd like to promote or add to the discourse from today?
I'd like to promote considerate muting on calls and podcasts. I'd also like to plug a piece I wrote that just came out this morning on the importance of safeguarding player rituals and routine in the NBA bubble, which was basically inspired, as most of the things in my life are, by PJ Tucker's tunnel dressing. Mm-hmm. But when the NBA said they were going to take it away and then they brought it back, but like I was curious as to what some other rituals would be that would change shape or like be gone altogether in the bubble, and kind of what the league can do to look at that.
I have not yet read it, but I'm hoping there's something in there about LeBron throwing hand sanitizer in the air as opposed to
I mean, yeah, that could work. Uh-huh. I mean, I will say it was very fun because I likened it to writing. It was like writing horoscopes and also like an academic psychological paper. Mm-hmm. So, which turns out, I guess, to be my beat because I wrote it incredibly fast. But you probably won't read anything else today that uses like, you know, words like mystical, like psychic cosmic barriers, you know, things, ceremony, things like that, alongside basketball players.
I highly endorse that. Also, I want to shout out pieces that both you and Big V wrote last week. You wrote a wonderful long-form feature on mental health in the bubble, speaking to Kyle Guy of the Sacramento Kings, among others. And Vivek Jacob, our pal, wrote a wonderful piece about Norm Powell, sort of using his voice and becoming the veteran leader in the Raptors locker room, who's been really vocal on the Black Lives Matter movement and the lack of commitment on the NBA side, at least when it comes to jerseys and the jersey names. And so I highly recommend both of those pieces. I'm so proud of the both of you. And it's wonderful that you guys decided to slum it with me. It's great.
Thank you. Well, there's one thing about Vivek and I, we just love to write. We can't help ourselves. So please read what we're writing, because sometimes it feels like screaming into the void.
Hey, the void, it's not the void. I mean, I guess if I'm the only person reading it, which, hey, maybe that's the case. If you want to refer to me as the void, then fair. But there's at least one person who reads everything you guys write, because you two are wonderful. And so thankful that you guys decided to hang out with me on this here podcast with a guy who does not ever write, despite claiming to be a writer. quite bad at that part of it. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's episode. Please subscribe to, rate, and review this here podcast along with all the other Locked On shows that you want to support, covering the teams that you like. It's very much appreciated when you go ahead and do that. We'll be back again later this week with a bunch of great stuff. We're going to continue our NBA Restart Preview Series with Adam Aronson, Sixers Adam. He's going to join us to talk about the Sixers tomorrow. Might hear that Wednesday, but that's going to come. And lots of other great stuff on the way that we will continue to tease throughout the week. Until then, thank you so much. We will talk to you again on Tuesday with another episode of Locked On Raptors.